Well, it's very good to see all of you this morning on this opportunity to gather together on the third and final week of our commitment series to think about how we can joyfully give ourselves back to God, holding nothing back, but giving Himself ourselves fully, our time, our talents, and our treasure. And I want to think particularly this morning as we do that, what it means to be a committed community or a committed family. And there's some words, I think, particularly from that letter that Paul wrote to the Romans that will help us just to unpack and to understand a little bit more what it might mean for us to be committed in the way that God is calling us to be. And the word I want us to think about this morning is sacrifice. Paul talks in that letter about being a living sacrifice. And of course, the notion of sacrifice for us is perhaps a bit different to the listeners that Paul was writing to, the churches that Paul was writing to. They're very much immersed in the whole world of the sacrificial system. And I think it might just help us just to remind ourselves of one or two things about that before we might understand how that might help us to see what Paul is trying to tell us about what it means for us to sacrifice ourselves and to be committed to God. So in the Old Testament, there were lots of different forms of offerings, different forms of sacrifices. Particularly, though, the first fruits were one of the key ways that people gave an offering back to God. We have to remember this was an agricultural society, largely. And the first fruits offering was a way of people taking the first bits of fruit or harvest or crops that were grown, or perhaps the firstborn of cattle, taking the first and often the very best and giving that back to God in a grain offering or an offering of some animal or other. So that's one particular form of offering, particular form of sacrifice. There was also the burnt offering, which was often a bull or a bird or a ram that was taken to the temple, was sacrificed at the altar of the temple, and was often burnt at that point as well, hence the name the burnt offering. And that was to atone for sin, a way of something else, another creature, another life, taking the sins that were on that person and forgiveness coming. It was also a way of giving thanks to God, giving back to God in some kind of way. So these kinds of images, these pictures of sacrifice, which actually are very alien to us and are very unfamiliar, were the sorts of things that Paul had in mind when he was writing to the Romans. Of course, the Romans would have had all sorts of other sorts of sacrifices to their own gods as well. The whole of the ancient world was immersed, whichever religion, was immersed in the system and the culture of sacrifice. And there's a few resonances, I think, with what that sacrifice system, the Old Testament, was all about and what Paul is saying in this New Testament reading. There's a few parallels as well as a few differences. And I want to draw out both of those this morning to help us to understand what it might mean for us to commit ourselves again to God this morning in a joyful way. So the first thing is that sacrifice is costly. Sacrifice is costly. If you think about those first fruits or the unblemished animal that's being brought to sacrifice, for these people, this was their very life. This was what they had to live on, whether it be actually the grain for them and their families to eat or to sell, to be able to make enough money, to be able to function and to live, to give back to God something of that harvest, something of that new birth of their cattle, was incredibly costly. It wasn't something that was easy for them to do. It was something that they would have noticed in a very clear way. And I think Paul calls us in this letter to be willing to give costly sacrifices, real offerings that count for something, that matter. When we come to communion, we of course follow Jesus' example. We come to the ultimate in costly sacrifices. Jesus held nothing back. He gave himself, even his life, as that ultimate offering, that ultimate sacrifice, so we could be put right with God again. But in doing that, he gives us something of an example of what he calls us to do as Christians, as his followers. We are called to be like Jesus, to follow his example. And that example is giving a costly sacrifice. Later on, we're going to have a liturgy of commitment as we stand before God as a family, as a community, and we'll say, we will not give you gifts that cost nothing. They're not really gifts at all, are they? That's not really an offering, to give something to God that costs us nothing, that we don't even notice has gone. And as we stand later on, I encourage you to hold your forms, if you've bought them, to hold your forms in your hands as you come before God and you remember that these are costly sacrifices, and that's as it should be. You remember, of course, the widow's mite, Jesus' observations of the woman placing just the widow's mite, just those pennies in the temple offering. For her, that was a costly sacrifice. There were all these rich and wealthy people who were coming past and making a show of placing huge amounts in the temple offering, the temple treasury. Jesus said, it's not about how much. It's about what it costs you. Offerings, sacrifices are costly. The second thing about the sacrifices in the Old Testament system is that they were temple-based. So the Jews, the people of Israel, were called to bring their sacrifices, but the only place they could bring them was to the temple. That was part of the law, and I guess it was so things didn't start happening in the wrong way in other places. It was managed, it was controlled, it had to be done in the right way. And those offerings were very temple-focused, very temple-centric. And I guess perhaps there was, for those people, a risk of worship being so focused around the temple and their offerings and their sacrifices being so focused on Jerusalem that they came to do their duty before God and then they went and they got on with the rest of their lives, feeling that they had discharged their duty in some way. There was, I think, for them, as there is for us, a risk of separating the spiritual and the material, the sacred and the secular, what happens on Sunday and what happens in the rest of the week. We've inherited, to some extent, the kind of Greek way of thinking which separates body and spirit and says that the important stuff is the spiritual stuff, the body stuff doesn't matter. There was very much this idea in Greek thought that the spirit was wanting to escape the body, that was the important thing. Paul is having absolutely none of this, and one of the most important bits in his letter is that he says that you are to bring your bodies as a living sacrifice. That would have been quite a strange thing for his readers to hear. They would have been thinking, well, isn't it about our spirit? Isn't it about our souls? It's about a spiritual sacrifice, surely. Paul's saying it's about your bodies. It's not just about Sunday. It's about Monday to Saturday as well. It's not just about what you do when you pray, when you worship, when you come to church. It's about what you do with your hands and your feet. It's about what your lips are saying. What words do you allow your tongue to utter? It's about what you're doing with your cooking and your cleaning. It's about your everyday life. Paul says, bring your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't separate. Don't try and separate the spiritual with other bits of life. And I think when we're thinking about what we do with our time and our talents, there can be a temptation sometimes in church life to think, well, those people who lead the intercessions, or perhaps who play the organ, or who do prayer ministry, those are the spiritual bits. The other bits aren't spiritual somehow. Well, Paul would hugely disagree. Paul would say those who are using their hands to make coffee for us after church, that's using your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's serving your brothers and sisters and building one another up in love. Those who are digging the churchyard, you're using your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is an act of worship to God. The practical things we do are as important as the so-called spiritual, in inverted commas, things. So let's think about the whole of our lives as we bring ourselves, as we offer ourselves back again to God. We are whole people. We're not separated into spiritual bits and physical bits. We are whole. Let's bring ourselves wholly before God. So sacrifice is costly. Sacrifice is whole life, not just church or temple-based. And sacrifice is perfect. The Jewish people would have brought unblemished animals. They wouldn't have brought a lame calf to be slaughtered on the altar. That would have been an insult to God. They wouldn't have brought a bird with a broken wing. That would have been an insult to the Creator of all things to bring somehow offerings that were blemished, that were in some way not perfect. And we might feel in some ways, if we look at that passage in Romans 12, that it talks about bring your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It might feel that we in the same way are being called to bring ourselves in perfection, that we are called to be holy and pleasing to God. Well, yes, we are. But if we wait until we're perfect, we're going to be waiting a very long time before we bring ourselves before God. Sometimes people feel like they can't offer themselves for service because they're not good enough somehow. They're not spiritual enough, or they do wrong things. I take great hope in Peter when I sometimes feel like this myself. I take great hope. If you remember that gospel reading, Jesus is predicting that Peter is going to fail, that Peter is going to deny that he even knows Jesus. And Peter's there. No, Lord, I will go with you to the death. I will be thrown into prison with you. Only hours later, he's standing around that fire, even denying that he knows Jesus. He is a failure. He's a failure. He's not a perfect sacrifice or offering by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, look at what Jesus does with Peter. Think about that wonderful barbecue on the beach when Jesus asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Look after my sheep. Peter, do you love me?" Three times he asks him. That reconciliation comes. Peter is not perfect, but Jesus uses him to build his church. We are not perfect. If we wait till we're perfect, we'll be waiting a very long time. We can still offer ourselves, knowing that Jesus will use us, even in our imperfections, to serve him. So sacrifice is costly. Sacrifice is whole life. Sacrifice, we bring ourselves as we are, knowing it's Jesus who makes us perfect. And finally, sacrifice leads to death. It's a cheery message, isn't it? Think about the temple scene. It would have been pretty messy, to be honest with you. You know, we have a very sanitized view when we read the Old Testament. I don't think we really allow our imaginations to see in our mind's eye how it would have been. There'd have been blood everywhere. There'd have been dead animals. There'd have been some animals burning on the altar, some kind of waiting to be put on the production line. It was a messy business, and it was about death. those animals, they had a quick and pretty merciful death, but make no mistake, they were killed in their thousands. That's what the sacrifice system was about, the death of those animals so that others could have life. And the sacrifice that we bring is in some ways about a death. It's in some ways about a death. Jesus says, those who try to gain their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. The world tells us that it's all about us. And Paul says, doesn't he, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another translation says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. To break out of the world's mold is about putting God first, about in some ways dying to ourself, not always placing ourselves front and center. And this sacrifice of death leads to life. That's the strange thing that goes on when we give ourselves back to God. Actually, he brings us life. And we experience a fullness of life in that service that we can't experience in other ways. We read later on, don't we, about how we're called to be one body and about how when we give ourselves back to God, that body is built, each of us having our own gifts that we bring, each of us coming to God in our own way, serving one another in brotherly and sisterly love, being devoted to one another. Paul says, you belong to one another. We talked about that earlier on, didn't we, in the series, about how you belong to one another. It's in that death of putting ourselves first that the life, the fullness of life in the body of Christ, with Jesus leading us, can become a reality. And then we come to be able to express more effectively what our purpose is. Top of your pew sheet. Our purpose is to know and share God's transforming love with one another. We belong to one another. With our local community, we exist and we're committed not just for ourselves, but for those out there and to bless the wider world. So as we come with real joy this morning, as a thankful community, because we can only give these things back to God because of what he gives to us, because of how he's given himself to us. As we come before him, let's remember that we are living sacrifices. Yes, it's costly. It's about our whole life. We come in our imperfections. That sacrifice is a kind of death, but it leads to a greater life. So as we hold our forms in our hands, they represent all that we bring as we bring our whole selves, the whole of our lives, not just Sundays, Mondays to Sundays, every part of our life before him. We're going to, in a moment, have our liturgy of commitment that Alison's going to lead, followed by that opportunity to bring up our forms during a hymn of response. But let's just be still for a moment before we do that, as we allow God to speak to us through his Spirit in the silence of these next couple of moments, as we just consciously hand ourselves back to God again in the whole of our lives. Let's be still.